welcome to Koi Sports CIC Grassroots Podcast, where as always, the focus is on connecting business and crucial grassroots sports, both here in the UK and indeed across the world. This is Tony Rice alongside my colleague David Woodridge. First up, you'll hear Dave chatting with Koi Sports elite member Michael Dwyer, who is the owner of ReSculpt Personal Training and a director at DNA Body Transformer UK. And then, just before Christmas, I caught up with Kelly Haynes from Enigma Fitness.
So, ReSculpt Personal Training, it's a health and wellbeing fitness studio, which I set up in 2012. And the reason I set it up is I wanted to do something a little bit different to what most personal trainers in gyms try and achieve. It's a place where people come, obviously, to get healthy and fit, but it's also a place where I like people to make solid, long-term lifestyle changes. And that's what we're trying to achieve. Most of my clients I've got with ReSculpt have been with me probably minimum 5 years and upwards. I've got a full client list. I've also got a waiting list for training with me. So it's a holistic approach to health, fitness, and well-being, with an approach to changing mindsets on how people think. I utilize a lot of my military training, leadership and management training within what I do, because if you can change people's mindsets on how they approach anything, they'll get a positive outcome from it. One of the other things I deal with is I've set up a DNA testing business. Quite a long story to that, how that came about. But in a nutshell, I was out teaching some skiing in Austria, met a guy randomly and his girlfriend in a bar just having a chat. 3 or 4 years later, got introduced to one of his good friends who happened to be a multi-millionaire who's got a DNA body transformer business in Germany, Austria, and Switzerland, but couldn't crack the UK market. I went over and had a meeting with him, and that's what we're now trying to do is crack the UK market with DNA body transformer. So in a nutshell, that's where I'm at the moment. So I don't know if you will you fire questions at me, David? Or
yeah, we'll do Q&As for it.
Yeah. So in a nutshell, that's where I'm at right now, to be honest.
Wow, Michael, we've certainly got a lot to unpack here. How did ReSculpt, first of all, how'd that come to be? And what's your story as a business owner?
Okay, so I left the Royal Air Force in 2008 as a warrant officer. I went into construction management. I was troubleshooting for construction companies. No background in construction, but lots of background in leadership and management. So I was going in, troubleshooting companies, showing people how they can improve the team ethic, how they can improve process, and how ultimately they can improve the bottom line by improving all of these areas. I did that for a number of companies. I'd finish one project, I'd get headhunted for another, and it was quite successful. What I found, though, having spent 28 years in the military, I was a bit of a square peg in a round hole. So I found it very difficult to adjust to civilian life, I suppose. No major dramas. I just found it quite tame compared to setting up operations in Afghanistan, setting up operations in Bosnia and wherever else we were sent when I was in the military. So I was sat at home one day and I thought, right, this isn't for me. Not quite sure what direction I want to take. And I just sat there and thought, right, what are my passions? My passion is outdoor activities. My passions are health, fitness. And so what I decided is to basically give it a go and see if I could make it in the fitness world. What I did was initially I got qualified as a personal trainer. I was also already an outdoor activities and winter survival instructor. I got qualified as a personal trainer, and that added to the fact that I was also a boxing coach already. And then I went and worked for Nuffield Health, worked there for a little while, realized that things could be done so much better, using my troubleshooting mind again. And decided the only way I was going to be really successful and put my own mark on the fitness industry was to set it up myself. So hence 2012, I set up my first student, more equipment, etc. Client base, and I've attracted a wealthy client base as well, which has helped me in other aspects of my business, because it's great for networking. A lot of business owners, a lot of professionals. But I've also liaised directly with local GPs, private GPs, to provide a more holistic approach to health and fitness. So it's not just about coming into a gym and hitting the weights. It's about lifestyle changes. So you come into me, we do a full suite of health checks. If I find there's an issue, for example, with blood pressure, high resting heart rate, elevated body fat, which can lead to a multitude of illnesses, I liaise directly with GPs and other health professionals, and we come up with the best solution for the client. On top of that, I'm also a scuba diving instructor. So this is where you've got the health, well-being, nutrition, but this is where I try and pull my clients into a slightly different direction with regards to testing their own mindset, pushing themselves out of the comfort zone. And when I was in the military, we used to use an analogy called comfort, stretch, and panic. So what we used to do, we obviously everyone needs to be out of the comfort zone, because if they're not, they're never going to progress. So what you don't want is people continually in panic. So what we tried to do was keep people in stretch, occasionally into panic, and then back into stretch. And what that did, what we found with the military, was that taking them in and out of stretch into panic pushed their area of stretch further and further. So they were less in panic and more in stretch, and therefore they got progressed more. The way I've done that with my clients is you can only push people so hard in a gym environment. So I've started to introduce some of my clients to skiing, taking some of them to Austria to teach them to ski. I've introduced some of them to scuba diving in the UK, which is, for a lot of people, they can't think of anything worse, but it's amazing. And introduce them. So those people now that have gone into these sort of disciplines, the mind process that you need to keep calm if you're diving in the North Sea, or if you're skiing, learning to ski in a blizzard up an alpine mountain, that can be applied to all aspects of your life. And that's the sort of thing I'm trying to achieve. And ultimately, my next step, as well as the DNA, is to set up an adventure training overseas travel company to affect all of these things I've just spoken to you about there, David.
Michael, I think you might be the most active and exciting personal trainer of all time.
I hope so, yeah.
Now, not only are you a personal trainer, you touched upon it there, you also work within DNA testing and the sports performance sectors. Can you tell us a little bit more about those?
Yeah, so over recent years, DNA testing was only for the absolute elite athletes. And as costs have come down, laboratory time costs have come down, it's been opened up into the wider arena for people. There's a couple of market leaders in the UK that do DNA testing, and I'll try and keep this as simple as possible. But for example, market leader A, and I won't give any names, but market leader A may test 40 gene types to work out what your strengths and weaknesses are as an absolute individual. You are your DNA. So whatever your DNA tests says that you're weak in, strong in, lacking in, is 100% given, because we are our DNA. So the reason I was attracted to this company, as well as it being in Switzerland and the Swiss are market leaders for health and well-being and all the rest of it, is the amount of genes that were tested. There was over 120 different gene types that were tested, which gives a raft of information for the mere mortals like you and me, how we can improve our lifestyle, our nutrition, what exercises may benefit us, how prone we are to soft tissue injury, how prone we are to certain diseases, And it's a really comprehensive test package for anyone who's serious about their health. It doesn't have to be elite sportsmen and women. It can just be for the likes of you and I. And if you grasp what your DNA tells you, it takes any guesswork out of trying to be a better version of what you are already. So yeah, we launched that last year in March, just as the lockdown kicked in. We were about to launch with a health and lifestyle insurance company, but because of COVID, the doors were shut. So pretty much coming out of lockdown in April, we're going to relaunch again. We're ready to go as we were this time last year, but unfortunately, COVID stopped a fledgling business in its tracks. But yeah, it's going well, and there's a lot of promise with that, and that's where we're at with that right now.
And that DNA testing side of things, I suppose that helps you with what you do by offering even more of a bespoke service to your clients than you already do.
Well, yeah, it's anyone. It's not a cheap test, first and foremost. So it's I'm just pulling some books out while I speak to you. Actually, it's not a cheap test, but it's. Absolutely detailed in every single thing it does. So if I can give you a quick example, let's have a quick look here. So it tests a number of genes to talk about the influence of diet on your body weight. It tests all of your vitamins and minerals and tells you if you're above, below the average level or what certain vitamins or minerals you may be lacking. It gives you whether you're likely to be a binge eater. So, for example, are you a consumer of sweet treats? How likely you are to be to have insatiability? That's the feeling of not being full or hunger. Your sweet taste perception, etc. It gives metabolic properties. It gives the detoxification properties. But the main one that I like as being a personal trainer. It gives a section of genes that are tested for your muscle structure to tell you how explosive and strong your muscles can be. Your fat burning gene, soft tissue risk injury, your VO2 max, how likely you are for post-exercise recovery, your heart capacity, the thing called the muscle volume gene, which is how easy you put on muscle or not. A thing called the warrior gene, which is are you a warrior or are you a warrior? So that's all to do with the fight or flight mechanism that we've got, adrenaline, etc. And obviously, if you're more of a warrior gene, you're more likely to be more competitive in sport, etc. The gene tests lean body mass and a gene for fatigue, and it goes on and on and on. But the depth of it is I could talk for hours just on that. One particular subject, to be honest, but again, it's a really in-depth analysis of an individual.
Seems absolutely fascinating, to be honest with you, Michael. But look, let's wind this back to a very basic level for a moment. When it comes to gaining a personal trainer, what should people be looking for exactly? Because there's always so many options whenever you walk into a gym, so many different personal trainers. If I'm looking to improve my mental health, my physical health, what should I be looking for in a personal trainer?
Okay. Fairly challenging question, that one. You've got, first and foremost, you want to be looking for a trainer that is not trying to sell himself through how he looks. Because most, the nature of the beast with the fitness industry is a lot of people get into personal training when they're very young. So there's a number of things that I feel as a more mature guy that is a problem there, is that they find exercise easy through the mere fact that they're young, the bodies are firing as they should be at a young age. And most personal trainers of that age group, and I say most, they are only concerned with the visual, right? So how much muscle they're carrying, how slim they are, and unfortunately it links directly in with social media and how social media present how people should look. What most personal trainers don't do is analyze what's going on inside. So for me, if I get someone that comes to me as a potential new client, and they'll say, right, I'm going on holiday in 8 weeks and I want a six pack, I'll say, you're in the wrong gym. Right. So what you need to do is go and find a gym where you'll have this short term fix. What I like to do is take people and I do a multi-test analysis on them before we even start any exercise. Lifestyle questionnaires, blood pressure, body fat, visceral fat, lean body mass, multiple tests, which is the most important hour you'll spend with your client, because that's the benchmark of where they're at that particular time. And what that throws up, it throws up health indicators of where their lifestyle risks are. And we know at the moment that the obesity levels in the UK are through the roof, directly linked with obesity, not only high level of COVID deaths, unfortunately, right now, but is diabetes, heart disease, lethargy, bone structure disease because of the excess weight people are carrying, and certain types of cancers. So I approach it from a version of, right, this is where you are, this is where we need to be, and there's certain parameters as a GP referral instructor, which is what I am, which is a level up from personal trainer. This is where we need you to be, first and foremost, to give you longevity in life. But when you make these lifestyle changes to affect that goal, people naturally feel much, much better. And the aesthetics that they're looking for are a simple byproduct of achieving those goals. It happens anyway. So in answer to your question, what sort of personal trainer are you looking for? You should look for a personal trainer who's serious about his trade, who delves into the analysis of your body composition, your heart rate, your blood pressure, etc. And they're serious about that, because if you affect those problems or those issues and you get them in the right parameters, everything else is a natural roll-on effect from there.
Just a quick one. Do you particularly specialize in any areas? Because you see some personal trainers who may specialize in strength and conditioning, maybe some that focus on core, on balance. Is there any particular area that you pride yourself on really specializing in?
Well, first and foremost, your basic qualification to train someone as a personal trainer is a level 3 personal trainer's course. So that allows you to work one-to-one with a client and provide a real bespoke approach to their health, fitness, and well-being. And then what happens is you can go on and do sidetrack courses from there, strength and conditioning. Yes, I'm a strength and conditioning coach. I've got an advanced nutrition certificate. I'm a GP referral coach, which is the level up, which allows me to work with people with serious illnesses, cancers, post-accident recovery, and all the rest of it. I'm also a boxing coach. I'm an ex-military boxing champion. And when I finished boxing, I went on to continue in the sport and became a boxing coach in the military. So I bring some of that into play, some of the systems that I used to use when I was boxing for health and fitness. But yeah, you can qualify in many things, but and you see some trainers that they've got a list as long as their arm. But it's like anything, you spread it too thin, you don't become an expert. You're a jack of all trades, a master of none. And the one thing I really, really drill into, and as I've just said to you there, I've got a wealth of qualifications, but the thing I really drill into is the analysis of what your body is doing right now and how we can improve it. I also drill into the mental aspect of training, because without an application of mind, you're never going to achieve anything. And a lot of people come to health and fitness because they're either suffering stress, anxiety, depression, and being healthy in body helps being healthy in mind. So it's a multitask approach to health and well-being that I have, and of course I'm highly qualified. I'm a 56-year-old guy that's lived in the health and fitness environment all his adult life, really. So yeah, so there we go.
Amazing. You look good for 56, Mike, I've got to say.
Yeah, thank you, mate.
Right, let's see my next question. Right. So you mentioned earlier that you have your own site, but would you be able to maybe join people in the gym? And what particular clientele do you tend to work with?
Well, yeah, I've got my own. I've got a large studio. Sorry, David, I didn't catch part of that question. That's right. I'm just going to repeat.
So you mentioned earlier that you have your own site. However, would you be able to join people in their own gym? And maybe what kind of particular clientele do you work with?
Okay, so right. So, yeah, again, I have my own site. I made a conscious decision very early on. I used to go to gyms and I used to train people there. I used to go to people's homes and train them there. But what I found is the only way that people were going to get a gold leaf service is if I could be in one place with all the right equipment, with all the right analysis equipment, to give them everything they need. If you're in a gym that doesn't have certain types of equipment, then you can't affect that certain type of application that you wanted. If you're going to someone's house, you can only go to their house with what you can carry in a duffel bag. So I made a decision very early doors that I would place myself out of one area and become absolutely bespoke in the studio. So whenever people come here, whether it's for analysis, whether it's for strength and conditioning, whether it's for boxing trip, whatever, everything's under one roof. So that's what I pride myself on is if you want to train with me, you come and find me. That may sound arrogant, and I don't mean it to sound arrogant, but I know this is where you're going to get the best possible service if you come under this roof. So and my client base, my client base ranges from I've got a guy at 75 who's a really wealthy business owner, started training with me when he was 65 or 66. He's a great guy. He's fit as a fiddle, made some lifestyle changes with him. I've got a lot of senior business owners and senior professionals. But on the flip side, I've also had a young girl who was an Olympic ski hopeful that needed certain types of training, which I could provide, plyometric training, etc. I've got sportsmen. It's a raft of clients, but the bulk of my client base is made up of senior business people that are wanting to make lifestyle changes. You know, and I know, if you get busy, the first thing that suffers is yourself. You're meeting deadlines. You're networking, you're leading an unhealthy lifestyle. Some people network through social activities. So there is a lot of people that are senior people in business that I've tended to attract. And maybe that is because I'm an older guy myself, so they feel they can sit and have a chat with me. Because a lot of the session, David, is whilst we train, that's just a small part of it. A lot of them, there's a very confidential element to it where they will share their problems with me and I will give them my best judgment on what I think that is. And it either helps them or it doesn't. But I'm sure it is helping because they keep confiding in me. So there's that side of it as well, which is you learn to gain the trust. They know that you're confidential with it and they use you as a sounding board as well.
I think that's all part of the benefit of offering that bespoke service at the end of the day, isn't it?
Yeah.
Now, you mentioned earlier that you do work within extreme sports with some clients because you push them towards that sector in some way.
Yeah.
So does that mean you often stay with your clients beyond their original goals?
Well, to be honest, David, the clients, like I said to you earlier, most of my clients have been with me for many years now. So they come with an original goal and those goals are far reaching. I feel lethargic. I want to feel better. Right. Well, let's analyze your lifestyle. Let's analyze your nutrition. So most Most of my clients that start with me, they're not with me for a short period. I get very few that come and go. Most of them are there for years. Hence, I have real difficulty getting new clients into my programs. And there's another element to that. I've got new trainers coming on board, which I'm mentoring to provide a similar kind of service. But so their original goals are surpassed, because if their original goals are health related, we get to the bottom of that and we surpass those goals. Because what I didn't touch on actually is whilst we do the initial analysis of health health matters, blood pressure and all the rest of it, there's 12 or 13 different sort of checks I do. That analysis happens every month. So you've set your mark in the sand, which is their first visit. Then you test a month later. So it's test, retest, analyze the outcome. And that's the only way that they remain accountable. Because if I start to see a fluctuation in their health, well-being, fitness, body fat percentage, we pick that up every month. And then we can talk about it. Right, why has this happened? Right, okay, I know where I've let myself down. And it's a stark reminder to them that actually this is a lifestyle change. It's not a quick fix for a holiday type of thing. So that's where, but back to your question with regards sports, for example, scuba diving and skiing. The reason I'm into those anyway, so it's just what I do. But there's definitely a positive knock on for clients, because they're always asking me about what's it like to dive in the North Sea in winter. And on the surface, it looks grim. Underneath, it's amazing. So they start to gain an interest in what I do. And then, you know, the ones that are like, God, I'd love to try this, but I'm just too frightened to try it. And then you just start to drip feed them in and encourage them to take part at a lower level. And they can, excuse the pun, but they can put the toe in the water with it and try that out. But what you find with these sorts of sports, it takes a real mental application as well as a physical application. And I find it really helps them in all aspects of the personal and professional life.
Now, you seem, Michael, as someone that's always looking to push themselves to that next level. You mentioned earlier going from stretch to panic and back to stretch again.
Yeah.
So what's the most challenging part of what you do?
Right. So the most challenging part of what I do is to get people to realize that lifestyle changes will make them feel completely different and completely amazing. But the most challenging part, I touched on there, that I do test, retest, analyze, and I do that monthly, is keeping people on that track. Because what tends to happen is initially people will come in, you give them whatever their outcome of their statistics that I've taken, and you give them advice based around those outcomes. Or you tell them that the risk factors that they are running, considering those outcomes. What you tend to find is initially people are 1,000 miles an hour into it. Yeah, this is awesome. This is amazing. I feel great. I've lost this much weight. I've never felt so alive. But then they get used to that feeling. And when they're used to that feeling, that's the danger point, is when they're likely to allow old bad habits to start to slip back in. But then that's every month they become accountable. As I say, I do these stats every month. So they're accountable to these stats and to me. And being an ex-warrant officer, I don't pull my punches if I don't need to. So I'll tell them as it is. And look, I'm not here to stroke your ego. I'm here to keep you fit and healthy. So what happens is they become accountable every month to these stats. If I find that they're slipping, I'll highlight the problem to them and then they'll come back on board. So in answer to your question, the biggest challenge is keeping people on program, I suppose, for want of a better word.
And I suppose keeping them on that program and seeing people progress mentally and physically because of your training, that has got to be some kind of achievement for you as well.
Yeah, and to be honest, David, that's why I took up what I do, because I found when I left the military was challenging in many ways and rewarding in many ways. And to have that replicated in a normal job, I found that very difficult to find. So I'd go into a company, Help them lean their processes, help them improve their management systems and all the rest of it, and help them improve their teams by showing them how to be inclusive of the team and realize that some of the best ideas come from the grassroots. It's not always the guys in the ivory towers that have the best ideas. So, but what I found is I was moving on so many times, because once you've affected change and they see positive change, it's time for me to move on, because I didn't want to be part of the organization. I just wanted to be part of the improvement chain. So what I decided is I'm getting short-term fix, I suppose, from this, because I'm always in for, I think you've picked up on it already, I'm always striving for improvement, whether it's in myself or other people. And I thought, right, the only way I can really do this is for it to be me, myself, and I, and people are coming to me. And I know the benefits that I gained out of being fit, healthy, pushing my boundaries to the extreme sometimes, and how good it's made me feel, and how fit it's made me as a more senior guy now. And that's what I wanted to pass on. So yeah, that's really, I gain a lot out of just seeing people improve. And thankfully, it's become a successful business. But it was a lifestyle business to start with. It wasn't meant to be a full-time job.
Well, you mentioned there it was supposed to be a lifestyle business to begin with. And this leads me nicely onto my next question, that anyone who is maybe listening to this podcast today who's thinking, you know what, I need to make a health change, what health benefit tips could you give someone who just wants to start on that journey right now?
Okay. So the first one, the real, real basic one, is drink more water, right? So drink water, because we are predominantly a system which is primarily made up of water. Once that's depleted, even tiny percentage, we start to feel the negative effects of that. So your first one would be drink more water. Another basic one is get more sleep. Other basics are try and wind down. So my previous life in the military was at times quite high octane and quite kinetic. So it was very, very stressful. And what I found since I've left the military, I listen to a lot of podcasts. I listen to sometimes I meditate. Well, I find that difficult, but I try it and it helps. So if you can reduce your stress levels and increase the basics, for example, your hydration levels, you're already a massive step into better health and well-being. And to be honest, your question's quite well posed, because what people try and do, they try and make massive strides too early, and they fail because it's all too difficult. If they've had a lifestyle of neglect and then suddenly they're trying to have a lifestyle of an Olympic athlete, it isn't going to last. So simple changes. And that's when I sit down with my clients, right, what's your hydration? What's your consumption of water? Well, I just drink tea and coffee. Right, let's stop drinking tea and coffee. Maybe cut it down to a couple a day and make sure you're drinking enough water that when you go to the loo, that your urine runs clear, you're completely hydrated, and tell me how you feel next week. I feel amazing. And it's as simple as that in some cases.
Well, I think it's easy to see why you became an elite champion with Koi Sports, helping us promote social change through grassroots sports. I mean, having those kind of organisations within the local area available to people is hugely important to health, right? It's a no-brainer.
Yeah, it is. Absolutely. And again, this probably runs off quite nicely, is I'm a private function right now. So people come along that can afford my rates, and they pay my rates. What I'm passionate about, and in fact, just right now, where I'm getting involved with the other David, we're having a natter about bid writing for government funding to look at setting up an obesity clinic for people that are really struggling. And that's something I'm passionate about getting involved with, and trying to get funding so I can sort of get involved with that and bring this sort of mindset, and a lot of it, David, is education. people don't understand how they can get themselves healthy, because the biggest problem right now that people have, and whether on a high income or low income, is the food labeling agency is full of misguided information. So they'll tell you something's healthy. The thing that's healthy about what the product they're telling you about is probably the cardboard box is more healthy than the product inside. So what I'm passionate about is getting people educated on the simple changes that they can make, explain to them why these simple changes will make them feel better, and giving some people who haven't got that sort of income where they can afford one-to-one personal training with someone like me, if government funding's available, which there's a lot of noise right now about post-COVID, the obesity rates, of course, a lot of tragedy in the COVID era, and they're going to throw money at tackling obesity. Well, that's fine, but you need people that have got the knowledge to tackle obesity. It's not good just throwing it at public gyms where the skill sets aren't there. So that's something I'm looking at getting into, because I'm desperate to pass these skills on to the general population as well. But one man, you can only do so much, can't you?
That's absolutely right. And as an elite champion, you do get to invest in a grassroots organisation. How important was that for you to be able to give back and connect with sport at that level? Because surely for you, this lifestyle of health and sport passion started at a grassroots level, right?
Yeah. Well, the ones I've been in networking organisations before. And a good friend of mine, ex-military guy, Dave Christophe, who's part of the group as well, he introduced me. Initially, I was, it's just another networking organization. But then when I realized it was directly linked with grassroots sports, for me, that sold it. I was like, right, yep, yeah, I'm happy with that. That's cool. So my grassroots sports, really, I just played rugby at school. I came from a fairly run-down Yorkshire mining village, and you played rugby or football, and that was it. My grassroots sports really started when I joined the Air Force. So lots of sports were available to me at whatever level. I've competed in triathlons. As I've told you, I excelled at boxing. I've been a runner. I've been a rugby player. I've sampled many sports, but the grassroots for me started when I joined the Air Force. And I'm a massive believer in sports for all, first and foremost, but certainly sports for youngsters that are coming from deprived areas. And obviously my major background is boxing, and I see in boxing clubs, it takes people that are probably going to fall on the wrong side of the law. It drags them back in line. It gives them a discipline structure. It gives them a team ethos as well. And it gives them somewhere to go instead of hanging around the shops. And then what you find is that they get involved with the boxing clubs. And that's, again, that's my idea of grassroots sports in a certain form. And they don't want to lose that opportunity, because most boxing clubs are strict. If you step out of line, you're out of the club. So it drags them in and gives them a focus and an energy. And some of them may never even have a competitive fight in a ring. Some of them may go on to be world champions, because they all start somewhere. Anthony Joshua being a major example of that. So, grassroots sports for me is definitely where it's at. Even if it gives youngsters somewhere to go that's safe, disciplined, and gives them something constructive to do.
So before you go, Michael, what's next for you and ReSculpt?
Come out of COVID and get the business bike pulsing like it was before we went into the pandemic. I want to get the DNA push forward, working with another elite champion with his travel business. I want to get the travel side of ReSculpt off the ground and just keep providing for people and improving people's mental health and physical health. I'm a happy man if I'm doing that. So, yeah, that's me, really.
And finally, how can we find out more about you, and where can we find out more information?
Right. So within the next 4 weeks, my new website will be launched. I've got a website at the moment, but it's so old, I've still got black hair on there. So it's quite outdated. But my new website's being launched. There'll be video content on there. The DNA website's going to be launched post-COVID again. So within the next 4 or 5 weeks, you can find out more about me or pick up the phone and we can have a natter.
And if you just give us a website address, Michael, or is that the same one as it is now?
It'll be the same one, www.re-sculpt.co.uk.
Perfect, Michael.
Hello again, and welcome to Koi Sports CIC Grassroots Podcast with your host, Tony Rice. As always, the focus here is on linking business with grassroots sports. And now we're lucky to learn about a lady who fits both categories as it goes, an award-winning athlete in her own right, and also a award-winning entrepreneur. She has been supported from Mick Dwyer, one of our elite members. And to explain all about her great journey, it is the amazing Kelly Haynes from Enigma Fitness. Kelly, good afternoon. How do you do?
Afternoon. I'm good, thank you. I'm very well.
Hey, perfect. Great stuff. Well, we've already heard from Mick Dwyer, who I know is going to be supporting you guys at Enigma Fitness. But my goodness me, Kelly, what a journey you've enjoyed. I guess, could you just give me an idea about, you know, I guess the early stages in your martial arts development and then a bit of a hiatus?
Yeah, well, I was doing kickboxing at the age of 12. And it wasn't until I was coming out of a relationship and becoming a single mum at the age of 30, I hit rock bottom when my nan passed away, who I was very close to. I was working as a property manager at the time, and it got to the point where I was so low in my life that I needed to show my son that, you know, I needed this pick-me-up, I needed this flash of light just to happen, and then this new way of life to lead me in the right direction. I started training really just for fitness and try and distract myself from life. And from there, from that very, very moment, a fitness element of training took me into actually the martial arts element of kickboxing. And my journey began at the age of 30.
Truly inspiring there, because a lot of us go through these times, these moments, and many never see the light. I guess just at its most rudimental level, how, from your own experiences, crucial has that element of martial arts, fitness, been to creating a very powerful, positive mindset?
Oh, it's crazy to think all over the news at the moment, the doctors are prescribing boxing for mental health. Now, boxing, obviously, for fitness, to improve cardiovascular, strength, coordination, agility, balance, you know, the list goes on, mobility, flexibility, is very important, key for everybody's life as we get older, because it's one thing that starts to deteriorate and then will cause injuries. But to be able to go into a gym, the mindset of becoming a team player and having to listen to an instructor, having to listen to guidance, because obviously you need to be able to put a combination together and learn a skill. So that enables you to forget for that moment in time what's actually happening in your life, which obviously is a massive part of people's mental health.
Again, there's very trendy terms these days, and I don't want them to be diminished into cliche, but one of them is mindfulness. And I tell you, Kelly, just witnessing a few of you live sort of action on Facebook, not a lady to be messed with. But my goodness me, there is that sense of coordination that strikes me from watching you live in work. Again, just give us a sense of how, when you do go through combinations, you get us just forced into really being aware of your body in that very moment.
Yeah, going through combinations, I mean, it's not just a case of following a pattern. You have to build your body. It's like a temple. You have to believe in your body and let your body get to work on, you know, build, like I said, building the cardiovascular system. So it's like running and working out in the gym to build up, you know, so you've got a good self-esteem. You need to be able to develop muscle so your strength program will begin, because obviously just being in a gym and hitting and kicking constantly for a living is going to have its downfalls becoming injuries. So you have to basically have a foundation and build the body, like I said, a bit like a temple, adding to it each time. the more you develop, the better you get, the harder you got to push. But the worst enemy to anybody ever is going to be themselves. That is their biggest challenge, is their selves. And overcoming their own self confidence, self-belief, that's a massive key part where I push all of my women. And that's a very important part as me as a coach to go through what I've been through and take it into my gym, because I've had that turning point.
Yes.
And I believe it's very important as a coach to really be able to have that experience to see what other people are feeling and to go through the motions and give them that push.
And I love the fact that that comes from a place of authenticity, like you've explained very candidly. You've lived this, you've had those dark moments, and through martial arts have now massively come through in a completely different trajectory. And let's not lose sight of the fact, Kelly, to an incredible level as well. British title over at the O2. You've been British martial arts award winning on multiple occasions. You must take some pride in the journey that you've been able to fight yourself through.
I would definitely say I never in a million years, coming up to the age of 30, would have thought my life would have had such a transformation, going from property manager, rebuilding my life with my little boy. Would I ever have thought that I would become a professional fighter, owning my own business, helping other women? I guess I struggle, so I'm dyslexic, and so being able to further my education was very difficult. In fact, I don't think I was one for staying in school very much at all. So at the age of 30, to be so interested and find an area that I absolutely loved and felt passionate about was the first time that I had realised what I actually wanted to do in my life as well. So that enabled me to further my education and become a personal trainer, and which at that point in my life, that was more of a challenge than becoming a fighter, because I never went through my schooling. I never went through my GCSEs. I never went through that because I didn't like to feel in school that I wasn't ahead with everybody else. So not only did the sport enable me to obviously find my passion and my love for something, it actually even found my education to be qualified at something, to be able to get where I have, and that is becoming a director of a business as well. So it's had like multiple effects on my life.
That's so inspirational to me personally. And, you know, I do think a lot of labels are put on us at a young age, and they can become limiting. And you've just literally smashed those asunder, showing that, you know, when you follow your passion, when you follow what you love, it will guide you. And again, different strands come that were maybe not even foreseen. Let's focus in on all this amazing achievements, really. And as you say, an entrepreneur in your own right, an award-winning entrepreneur too, it has to be said. I think bronze at the Small Business Enterprises, Milton Keynes and Buckinghamshire Business Awards, literally in 2020, so very recent. When was it that through this journey, you actually set up Enigma Fitness?
So in 2015, I decided to do a six-week combat bootcamp fitness for women. I think I charged £40. I had 12 women, and I'd done the 6 weeks where they trained twice a week, and they loved it that much. They said, you know, can we carry this on? Can we do another 6 weeks? So I was like, okay, yeah, we can carry this on. You know, this is good. You're getting results. I'm loving it. We're working as a great team. So I continued for another 6 weeks. And then they were like, oh, we really want this to carry on. You know, can we do this for another 6 weeks? So when it got to the second set of 6 weeks, I actually realized that they were like, oh, my mate wants to come on. And, you know, can we make this an ongoing thing? So it literally went from 2015 for a six-week combat boot camp transformation sort of tester to an ongoing membership, which obviously started very low. And now I think we've got 70 women at Enigma Fitness. We've got Enigma Fitness, Enigma Kickboxing, Enigma Muay Thai. And basically just for the pandemic, we was actually looking at getting our own gym, because at the moment we're in Total Dojo, which is my gym where I train, my partner's gym. And thankfully, we didn't obviously get to the gym, because obviously we'd have been in a very difficult situation through the pandemic. However, for me to grow and go to the next level, because I've got so many programs and projects and links that I'm into with, you know, charities that I'm linked to and people that I help and more projects starting in 2022, that, you know, my eyes are literally so wide looking for that opportunity for apprentices to be able to reach out and help so many more other projects.
And it will happen. I mean, that is amazing to go from sort of 8-12 right up to 70 now. And as you say, lots of exciting times ahead. I'm quite curious here because, you know, I would never consider myself a martial artist, a big fan of a boxing in particular, a little bit of MMA. But I know that your fighting career has taken you across the world. And you mentioned there Enigma Muay Thai. And obviously you've actually, you know, internationally competed in that. Just to the layman that I am, can you explain this, the differences between straight kickboxing and Muay Thai in particular?
Yeah, I mean, I've had a few bouts, which means fights, the term of fight, in K1, which is a bit like kickboxing. The only difference between K1 and kickboxing is obviously, I've actually fought kickboxing as well. So I have. So you're not allowed to do leg kicks in kickboxing. It has to be above the waist. You're not allowed to clinch, which means a bit of grappling. There's no floor no floor work whatsoever in any of the three K1 kickboxing and Muay Thai. And no elbows in kickboxing or K1. But in Thai, you're allowed to elbow, you're allowed to clinch. It scores massively taken down. So you can obviously take them down. You're not allowed to, like I said, if they go down, then that's it. That's the point, receive, and then you stop. I only actually got into more of the Thai. I think I won the ISKA title at the O2 in K1 with a Mina Lamour fight. It was an amazing fight. It went four rounds of 3 minutes. Both of us stood till the end. There wasn't a knockout. It was just an amazing, skillful fight. I got to demonstrate my skills in the ring as me, as Kelly Haynes. However, throughout the fight, I think I got told off a few times because I was getting a bit clinchy. And when you catch the kick, you have to strike straight away and then drop the kick. And there's certain rules, obviously, you have to follow. And, you know, rules are there to be broken. And after a few incidents, I thought, you know what, I'm going to try Thai. I think it's my chance now to try Thai where I can use all my weapons and not get told off. So I decided to go to Thailand. Where's best to try and train Thai and then go to Thailand? So me and my partner headed off and we went to Lamai Gym, an amazing gym in Koh Samui. And basically I trained, I loved it, absolutely loved it. I come back to the UK and I was like, okay, yep. Yeah, loved it, loved it, loved it. Want to go back. Before I went back, in fact, I had a K1 fight at the O2 again. So I done my K1 fight. This is in November at the O2. It was a Lions fight, which is a massive production. It's all over Vegas. It's all over the world. I actually got knocked out in like 40 seconds of the first round. And I literally flew out to Thailand that about a week after that fight, and as soon as I got into Thailand, I was like, right, I'm ready to fight. And they're like, you've just had a fight. And I'm like, no, I want to do this. I want to do this. So I went in for my first Thai fight. It went, did it go four rounds? Yep, I think it went four rounds. So in Thailand, men fight 5 3-minutes. Women usually fight 4 3-minutes. And the first two rounds are meant to be very sabai-sabai. In Thailand means very calm, very productive. And then the 4 and 5 round is when you pick it up and literally it's either knockout or you just really kick, take down and score high. And I went out, went 4 rounds, won that round. And then a week later, I was like, right, I'm ready to fight again. They were like, this is your third fight in a month. I was like, no, no. So they were like, okay, that's fine. So the posters went up, the vans went round where my face is on, the big billboards went up. And I went back to the stadium and I looked at my opponent that walked in and I'm not joking. I was like, holy guacamole. She was the size of my dad. And I was like, surely that's not the girl that I'm fighting. So obviously there's weight categories. Yes. And they were like, no, that's the girl you're fighting. And I think she had nearly 10 kilos on me.
Goodness me.
And that went four rounds. And I remember the bell went and I went in and I kicked her. And literally, I kicked so hard and she didn't move. And I spun all the way around. Right. And I was like, oh no, this is going to be a rocky road.
But once again, Kelly, just stepping up to the plate with that amazing enthusiasm and just not backing down. It's truly an amazing experience and a journey. I feel as though there's almost a Rocky-esque movie in your life here, for sure. You mentioned the crucial partnerships. And we here at Koi Sports, and I know Mick Dwight in particular, delighted to be a partner here and offering you support going forwards. Before we address that, and in particular how that could help and benefit, just go back a moment and tell me about some of the already strong partnership links that you've cultivated.
So I've been really lucky. Wealth Dragons, the company that I left, a property investment company, actually through the prime of my fight career, or the build-up to making my name Kelly Haynes, they ended up sponsoring me. Obviously, when we started hitting to the pandemic, it was, or just before, they stopped sponsoring. And I was sort of reaching out for a few smaller sponsors. And luckily, through the pandemic, a lot of people obviously see me linked to MK Act. I'm linked to women's the women's leaders. I'm a trustee for them. I train MK Act every week. So I've had a massive link with them. And also I was linked to TVP, which is Thames Valley Police. So I was doing a project called Boxing Clever, where we were basically children that are vulnerable and being led into gang life. I was going into schools and during the session time, training them and trying to get that discipline across of martial arts. We had an amazing turnout on that. And basically won an award just before the pandemic in February last year, a kids award, which we got given at the House of Commons. It was like huge. I had companies come up and ask to sponsor me. So I have TNC Recycling, which is a recycling company that basically recycles clothing, puts it into prisons. They rebrand it and send it out. I've got ARG Landscaping, obviously a landscaping gardening company, Codebreakers CAF. Again, believing in me to help me through the times in the projects, and also a rapid aid for competitive events. So these small, okay, it's not a good big sponsorship, but these are companies that are still, like what Mick has done, yep, just took that little bit of time and consideration, and just by giving in to Enigma Fitness or Kelly Haynes Officials has enabled me to put back into the programs and the projects. I mean, unfortunately, TVP, the Boxing Clever program, coming out of the pandemic, a lot of coaches, even though myself and another colleague, Kev, we were the main core to the program, Kev couldn't restart. So my schools were contacting me, like saying, Kelly, please come back and start this project. Like, please, our kids are waiting for you to come back. And unfortunately, TVP couldn't pursue it. I wasn't allowed to use Boxing Clever's name anymore or any link to TVP. So I thought, do you know what? I'm going to do what I always do. And I'm going to believe in myself. And I'm going to start my own project. So I have now launched Touch Glove, which in 2022 will be going into secondary schools. I'm already starting. And I will be picking up where I left off.
Kelly, I'm so inspired from talking to you, and I'm sure everybody listening to this podcast will be, because once again, several things you demonstrate there. Number one, like you said, the little, but they add up, and that's a reflection of the fact that you were proactive and you kind of continued the momentum. And then, even when it was, again, a moment of adversity and this great project, future circumstances no one could control, was forced into, again, a bit of a back burner. Once again, Kelly Haynes steps up. And I think that is the absolute lesson for us all. And I know loads of information, loads of great videos of your epic journeys and your wonderful fights available. What's the best website for us to learn more about you and Enigma Fitness?
So Enigma Fitness MK, that's the website, www.enigmafitnessmk.co.uk. You know, you can message me on Instagram, Kelly Haynes Officials, Facebook, Kelly Haynes Officials, and also Enigma Fitness MK. You know, I'm happy to put into projects. I know people have come to me and asked for me to do speeches, inspiring speeches, or come into schools. Through the pandemic, I was doing online PE stuff for a company. and they launched it out to primary schools. And the teachers have been contacting me on Instagram. Literally, I just done a congratulations video and sent it into the school in Crawley, just saying our kids are loving your program. They're doing the online they're doing the online PE, but because of obviously some of the schools are doing non-contact for various reasons because of that crazy little bug. And they're saying they're doing so well. So, you know, is there any chance you could send a video to say congratulations to the school, to keep them inspired, to keep them going? And, you know, I'm happy to do that. I love making a difference and helping people and giving them that urge to carry on and that confidence. You know, that's what gains me and makes me grow, is feeding off people feeling good about something. So, you know, if there's anything I can do to anyone listening to the podcast, or if anyone has any questions, like I said, feel free to contact Koi Sport, contact me myself, and I'll be happy to help where I can.
Just such a beautiful way of looking at life. And I know you're going to continue to do great things. Obviously, Mick Dwyer supporting you here at Koi Sports. I know you have so many exciting projects. Just give us a little idea of how that in particular will be proving beneficial going forwards into 2022 and beyond.
So Mick, bless him, you know, lovely. He was the first one to jump in straight away when he listened to, you know, the story or my introduction. So Mick's money, what's happening is, obviously I go into the refuge once a week on a Wednesday. There's been times where the refuge either has to shut, or there's been ladies that can't make certain sessions. And what we do is pay for taxis, because they haven't got transport, for those ladies to come to our gym. And basically the money that we have in a pot, so even Enigma Fitness and stuff like where Mick's money went, we go into a pot, pay for their taxis. We would take them for lunch. So we take them for outings each month and take them for tea and coffee and lunch. So it just gets them out, association, again, making, being a part of a team, because going to the refuge sometimes doesn't take them away. It reminds them still of, you know, things going on in their life. So being able to take them out of that area and putting them into a safe place and meet some other people, new people away from, you know, their reality, has been really amazing. And it has had a huge impact on the women. I've had nothing but amazing feedback from MK Act.
Kelly, that is absolutely amazing to hear. And it is truly the very essence of what Koi Sports is all about. Again, taking business partnerships and allowing communities to be enriched and enhanced by the great work people like yourself consistently put in. Once again, please remind me of your best website and how we can engage with you social media wise too.
The website is www.enigmafitnessmk.co.uk. You can catch me on Instagram, Kelly Haynes. Kelly Haynes Officials, and also Facebook, Kelly Haynes Officials or Enigma Fitness MK.
Hey, make sure you engage. This is one powerful woman, literally, and doing a powerful work, blowing my mind. Kelly, it has been a joy to learn your story and to really appreciate the phenomenal work that you are doing, both professionally, personally, and in every other sense. Is there anything else you'd like to remind us about or just crystallize at all in closing?
I think it's very easy to get wrapped up in life and basically have so much to do that you can't always help others. I think just a little gesture, a little bit of support now and then to somebody that you feel is low, or somebody that just needs that little bit of pick you up, don't hesitate to do it, because it could just change their whole day. Even if it's a text, a call, helping somebody out, just, you know, be the best person that you can be. That's it.
Absolutely beautiful, and you absolutely are. You've really, truly blown my mind and inspired me massively. I'd like to wish you and yours a lovely Christmas time, and I look forward to catching up with you again in the near future. Thank you again.
Merry Christmas. Bye.
This has been Tony Rice for Koi Sports CIC Grassroots Podcast. If you like what you've heard and are interested in becoming a member of Koi Sports CIC, or simply looking for more information about all our phenomenal members, and of course, the amazing work being done here, take a moment and simply visit www.koisports.co.uk. I'll repeat, that's www.koisports.co.uk. And be sure to listen in next week for another Koi Sports CIC Grassroots Podcast.
We'll be right back.